This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Well, good morning, everyone. And it is still morning, even though it's after 12 o'clock, because I'm reliably informed that afternoon doesn't start until you've had lunch. So it's still very much morning. A bit like Dan, really. We're going through a restructure, and I know my job title's going to change, but I don't know what it is yet, so we're still in consultation phase. But certainly at the moment, at least, my role is Head of Partnerships and Performance at Central Bedfordshire Council. You know, last week we saw the final launch of the Space Shuttle Atlantis, and it reminded me of an interview I heard on the radio with an astronaut. And they were asking about his experience of going into space. And he said, well, the scariest moment was actually just before takeoff, when he realised he was sitting on top of millions of gallons of fuel in a craft that was built by the lowest bidder. And and I think that's how I feel a little bit today, talking to you about the role and success of local enterprise partnerships, when actually we're really just still in the very much the takeoff phase. And I ought to say, in amongst such illustrious company and some fantastic speakers, that I am not an expert on these local enterprise partnerships. Unfortunately, none of the experts were available, and I'd already committed us to presenting today. So I'm afraid you've got me. But what I am going to do is I'm going to share with you what it's like from the perspective of a strategic partnership whose vision is predicated on economic growth. So we are very reliant on this LEP being able to be successful and achieve that growth for us. And so the next 15 minutes, I'm going to just set a bit of context for that, describe the model, and then examine some of the challenges that we face. Okay, so first of all, I ought to say something a little bit about Central Bedfordshire, because like the Cheshire West and Chester experience, we are a new unitary authority. This area didn't exist a couple of years ago, and it was formed out of local government reorganisation. And this was a very similar where part of a county came together with two districts, Mid Bedfordshire District and South Bedfordshire District, formed with part of the county council. And now there are three unitary authorities in what is actually a fairly small county of Bedfordshire, and Bedford and Luton are the other two. Now, Central Bedfordshire is actually quite a desirable place to live. It's got good employment, good education, good health, relatively low levels of crime. It's quite an affluent area. It's got a population of about 255,000, and just over half of those live in what would be defined as rural communities. So they live in very picturesque villages and so on, and the others live in some key market towns. But it's a very well-connected place in Central Bedfordshire. That's one of its key strengths, is its location. Because it has the M1 and the A1M running through it, so two motorways. It's on the main line into London, and there are 11 separate stations across Bedfordshire as a county, all going into London. And it's also got the gateway of Luton Airport, just a couple of miles over its border. So it's incredibly well connected. And we also have an issue with commuting in the area. There's something like in Bedfordshire, 70,000 people commute out of the area every day, and 40,000 commute in. Most of the commuting out is into London, but there's also in and out commuting to the surrounding areas of Milton Keynes and Northamptonshire, and that'll become more important later on. So a key strength is its location. And I just wanted to take a higher perspective, really, and you can't get much higher than this, and just have a look at it from space. And I don't know if you can pick it out that clearly on the screen, but you can see where the UK is, and you can see that this whole area where we're based, and we're sort of in that sort of London and South East region, is very much an economic centre in the whole world. And Central Bedfordshire, far from being a sort of dormitory area that's just looking at commuters into London, it's got all the ingredients in it to be an economic powerhouse. But we realise that we can't do that on our own, and we need to recognise that we're part of neighbouring areas. And that sort of leads to the partnership's vision, and the partnership is Central Bedfordshire Together. And that vision is that we need to recognise and be globally connected. And we need to deliver sustainable growth. And then we've got this green issue, because we are a green and pleasant place. But also, you know, the environmental issues about being green. And we see that new technology as something that we really want to be a part of. And we want to be a prosperous and ambitious place, but make sure that we benefit all of our communities. And that's absolutely key. Okay, like many areas, we're experiencing a number of challenges over the next few years, particularly in terms of our population growth. We've also got an increase in the number of older people that live in the communities, and that puts pressure, of course, on a number of services provided by local authorities. And we're planning for a whole new 26,000 new homes in the next 15 years, which is quite significant. And alongside that, it's very critical, and this is where we come to the nub of the issue about local enterprise partnerships, is that we need to create an additional 27,000 new jobs over the same period. Now, just to sort of put that in perspective, that means we need 1,800 additional jobs a year. That's quite significant. At the moment, we are a growth area and we're doing very well, and we're sort of growing at the rate of about 1,340 jobs a year, but we've still got a long way to go, and we've got to be able to sustain that year after year after year. So quite a big challenge for us. And as already been said, we're all facing such significant financial challenges. Like any new unitary authority, we've taken out about 40, or we will have done by the end of this year, we're on target to take out about £40 million from a net budget of around £200 million. And we're looking to take out a further £27 million over the next 4 years. So very significant budget reductions. And sometimes it's very hard to look forward, isn't it, when you're having to face such significant and unprecedented cuts in funding. So within this context, what can we sort of expect from a local enterprise partnership? What will it do for us? And so I thought I'd just touch on, what is it? What is an LEP, a LEP? Well, actually, the guidance is incredibly thin, and in reality, it can be what you want it to be. So you can create a model that suits you. Essentially, it's about bringing together business leaders with civic leaders to work on a joint agenda to provide strategic leadership and to support the growth of your local economy. One of the key things is it must operate in a geography that is a natural economic area. And previously that was called a functional economic area. I'm not really sure what the difference is between the two. But deciding on what that boundary is, I know, has been the subject of much discussion from a number of partnerships. And there is no single definition. I mean, typically, it should take into account labour markets, travel to work areas, markets for goods and services, amongst other things. But really, what we need to know is that job creation and business failures in one area have a very significant impact on its neighbouring areas. And so I think that the boundaries of these partnerships need to be very blurry. And it's a big danger if we put in robust boundaries around these partnerships. We need to make sure that we blur the edges and we work within local enterprise partnerships and across local enterprise partnerships. I've had some experience in my past of running businesses, and I know that businesses just don't operate in the same boundaries that local government structures do. We just don't think in that kind of way. And so we just need to make sure that we're flexible and recognise those kind of things. Okay, I know you can't see the detail of this, but this is just to show you where local enterprise partnerships are being established across the country. And already this slide is out of date because it only shows 35, and I heard yesterday that it's now 36. So this is a very dynamic and fast-moving process, and we need to recognise that. And it covers over 96% of businesses are now covered by a local enterprise partnership. So that's a really quite significant coverage in such a short space of time. Okay, so what I want to focus in on now is our particular enterprise partnership and where that is. It's called the South East Midlands LEP, or SEMLEP for short. Someone once referred to it as LEMSIP, I think by mistake, and I just can't get that image out of my head ever since. I did say I wasn't going to mention that today, but I've already slipped up, so there you go. But this is a very interesting area because it brings together sort of all sorts of different regions and previous government office regions and regional development agency areas. Bedfordshire has been in four different government office regions in the last 20 years. And we've always been on the southernmost part of that, or the northernmost part, or the westernmost part. We've always sort of felt that we've been a little bit on the fringe of those things and never really fully understood by those organisations, those regional organisations. And obviously with the demise of the regional development agencies, this has given us an opportunity to create our own region around our own boundaries and so on. And to base it on local synergies, to base it on local transport links, travel to work patterns. And that's why I said earlier about that in and out commuting in and around Milton Keynes and Northamptonshire and so on. That's where we've begun to build this model. And previously I was director of the Chamber of Commerce and was involved with the Chambers of Commerce. I was from Bedfordshire and was involved in the Chambers of Commerce from Milton Keynes and Northamptonshire in forming something called the South East Midlands Chamber Alliance. Because the chambers, the businesses themselves, recognise that this is the region within which we operate, even though that cuts across three different government office regions and three different regional development agencies, the business has got the message that we need to ignore those and work on the boundaries that meet business needs. And so if these enterprise partnerships are going to be for business and led by business, then they need to understand what those business needs are and operate in that kind of way. We've got 12 local authority areas. The sharp-eyed amongst you may have already counted that there's only 11 on that list. So I need to give my apologies publicly to Northampton Borough. So I don't know why I missed them off, but I just did it a bit of a hurry, I think. But this area has over 80,000 businesses in that area. So it's quite significant. It's got a population of nearly 2 million and it contributes 35 billion to the national economy. So very significant scale of operation in amongst this area. Okay, so our actual model, what the Sunlit model is. Well, it's going to be light touch. It's going to be a company limited by guarantee. It's going to be based on local drivers. And we've decided to have six public sector representatives on the board and six private sector. In addition to that, there will be a private sector chair. So there'll be 13 board members in total, seven of which will be from the private sector. And we think that's critical to get that business focus and that business lead. And we only want to do things that are necessary, unlike this sign on the slide. We want to make sure that we do the things that really make a difference. And one of its core strands of activity is about promoting enterprise and business growth. I remember reading a book about 20 years ago, and it was looking forward to the future when, you know, technology was just really beginning to take off and we were just beginning to hear about emails and computers in the workplace and that sort of thing. And this book said, due to the significant advances in technology, the workforce of the future would have just two employees, a man and his dog. And the man's job would be to feed the dog, and the dog's job would be to make sure the man doesn't touch anything. So, but of course, we've all understood that the world has moved on. It's a very different place than it was sort of 20 years ago. And I don't know whether any of you have seen the early results of the census of 2011, but there are now 28,000 different job codes on the census. And that's an increase of 2,200 from the same census 10 years ago. So things have moved on quite significantly. Interestingly, it's a massive move on from the 1801 census, which had just three job codes, and that was agriculture, manufacturing, or other. Another interesting aside, just for the record, is that some of the new codes that have come on board includes feng shui consultant, pole dancer. Surely that's got to be more than 10 years old. I mean, maybe someone here can tell me later. And colon hydrotherapist. The mind boggles, doesn't it? But there are so many different jobs, and what we recognise is that the workforce of the future needs to be highly skilled, highly trained. It's not about a man and a dog anymore. It's very much about highly skilled, highly trained, often highly specialised workers, and we need to get that skills base absolutely right. And that is a critical concern for us, because just over a quarter of our businesses in central Bedfordshire say that they have difficulty recruiting people with the right skills. So if businesses are going to grow, we need to also be able to invest in their people, invest in premises, invest in research and development, in innovation of their products and services, in new markets and new channels to market. And all of these things require access to finance. Businesses can't do these things unless they get the right access to finance and able to have access to that money to be able to develop and grow. And that's critical if we want to move out of the recession that we're in. Okay, so the challenges for enterprise partnerships. Well, there is a danger that some of them, because we've got so many of them, with 36 already, that they may lack some of that capacity and some of that scale, as it were, to drive economies of scale and to really benefit. It's difficult because LEPs need to be big enough, but not too big. And you can't really define what that size is because it will just depend so much on the local area and what you want your partnership to do and how you want it to operate. Another key issue for these partnerships is around accountability. Because at the moment, local government is obviously accountable through its electoral mandate of local politicians. But that link is often lost with these kind of partnerships. Where is the accountability? It's out there somewhere, and that can easily get lost. So we need to be careful of those sorts of things. And there's all sorts of significant challenges about how they involve the businesses and engage with those businesses that they represent and make sure that they can communicate with those effectively. One of the biggest benefits is also one of the biggest weaknesses of these partnerships, and that is that thin guidance from central government about what these are, and therefore you can do what you want. Because whilst a flexible approach should be applauded in many instances, and it sounds attractive to be able to do whatever you want, that lack of clarity on the role of these partnerships and how their activities will be costed and funded and so on, that could seriously undermine their role. So we just need to be careful of those sorts of things, and partnerships need to make sure that they've got that clarity and they know what they're there for. And of course, at the moment, they don't really have any devolved power from Whitehall either, and I know that's something that the Select Committee has been recommending, that Whitehall departments start to look at where they can devolve power to these partnerships to help them operate effectively. So they need that clear focus on what it is they want to do. And one of the key issues there is that they shouldn't be overwhelmed with lots and lots of different things. There's a danger that they could become a solution looking for a problem, and that everyone says, oh, we'll give that to the LEPs, they'll be able to sort that out, they'll be able to do that. So they need that clarity of focus. Just moving on to the successes of LEPs, and this is my final slide. There are some early successes in terms of engaging with businesses, getting that business leadership, getting that strategic leadership. It does provide a stronger voice for local businesses, particularly small organisations. There are some new opportunities to bid for funding for enterprise zones. I know many of the LEPs are gathering around each other to submit bids for regional growth funding and that sort of thing. And who knows what other funding opportunities might arise in the future. Also, I know CLG are restructuring themselves around LEP areas, and at deputy director level are identifying leads for each LEP. So there's some opportunities there, and therefore, if you're not in an LEP area, you could get left out of that sort of thing. And obviously, there's a collective effort and so on. Ultimately, it'll be the delivery of outcomes that really tell us whether these things have been successful or not. But I just want to finish with a quote, if I may. And unfortunately, I didn't get time to put it on a slide because I only came across it yesterday. And it's from a very unlikely source, but I think it really sums up where we are, perhaps, with LEPs at the moment. And it says this: there is nothing more difficult to take in hand, more perilous to conduct, or more uncertain in its success than to take the lead in the introduction of a new order of things. But that's not a quote about LEPs. It's actually a quote from Evel Knievel, would you believe? And he finishes off that quote by saying, anybody can jump a motorcycle. The trouble begins when you try to land it. And I think ultimately, you know, LEPs have taken off. And what we need to see is, in due course, can we land it safely? Thank you.